Hello there. Welcome to the show. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be with you here for the next 30 minutes. Thanks so much for stopping by. On the program today, we're going to look at the mass readings for Wednesday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. And then we're going to do something a little bit interesting. Stopping by to the show today in a pre-recorded interview is Jacob Popchak. And I'm going to be interviewing Jacob. This is a different type of interview. And first of all, the fact that I'm interviewing him is interesting because he interviews me every week on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. I recently interviewed him about finding God in beauty and art, which is not typically my thing. And, you know, you might be into beauty and art. I never have really been into beauty and art. I do like music, though. So we touched on some interesting topics in the interview. I think you'll enjoy it. Jacob's an amazing guy. A lot of people don't realize how versatile he is and how much experience he has. And he's only 24 years old. Really, really sharp guy. And, of course, he's the son of Dr. Greg Popchak, who is also a good friend of mine. So we're going to feature that interview with Jacob on the program today. Well, the cat's out of the bag. I had the big reveal for the new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, yesterday on Facebook. And we're starting to get some patrons. And I have to be honest, I'm still tweaking it. I'm looking at things. I'm changing around some of the titles. I'm trying to look at it and see how can I best reach out to those worriers who are looking for relief. You know what? One of the problems that I find in life, when I go out and I speak about overcoming anxiety, I run into people. And I honestly, I've met many, many people who say, this is great. I started talking to Jesus and all of a sudden my life is changing. And I love to hear that. But I also run into people who say, I'm never going to stop worrying. Everybody worries. It's just the way it is. And they almost accept it. Well, you know what? That's not good enough. It's not good enough for me. I'm going to keep trying to let people know that Christ is the answer, not only to overcoming anxiety, but Christ is the answer for being able to get to heaven. You got to get to know Christ. I mean, whether you're a worrier or not, we all need to get to know Christ personally. Otherwise, we're never going to make it to heaven. I mean, it's, you know, and ultimately, look, I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge of who's going to make it to heaven. That's the Lord's job. All I'm saying is that if we don't get to know Christ, we're never going to get where we need to be in our relationship with him. Again, I don't know where that line is. I don't know anybody's personal relationship with Christ. I don't really know the details of that. All I know is that there are many people out in the world who don't know Jesus. And rather than complain about it, I'm going to do my best to introduce him to as many people as possible. So that's why I do what I do. That's what keeps me going. That's why on the darkest days, and I do have some dark days, you get involved in ministry and you're going to get beat up quite a bit. I mean, that's what happens. The evil one has those of us who are doing this in his target. No doubt about it. There are certainly crosses involved with doing what I do, but I don't care because I need, once I got to know Christ in my own life, I need to share him with others. And that's why it's so great when I can spend this time on the program with you. I really love this. I really love being able to read these mass readings and to share the interviews that I share and to spend some time with you on this 30-minute podcast. Now, just a reminder, on Friday, I will be heading to the Malvern Retreat House in the suburban Philadelphia to lead my Stop Worrying and Start Living retreat. I'm going to have to get the Friday episode of the show taped in advance. I should be able to do that without a problem. I'm also going to make sure I get all the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, or actually the One Day at a Time daily version of the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast up and running. So if you're somebody who subscribes to that, know that that is going to be all set up and ready to go. Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, you know, sometimes we think of you as just being in heaven. Well, Father, we know for a fact that you are with us wherever we are. So as we pray now, as we turn to you, we acknowledge the fact that we are in your presence. And we know that when we are in your presence, we're also in the presence of Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can't escape from your presence. So with that in mind, as we pray now, we picture you looking upon us. You see us, you hear us. You love us. And in response, we turn to you, Father, and we say we love you. And we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for your constant presence in our lives. And we thank you for the fact that you are so accessible. As important as you are, one would think that it might be hard to get in touch with you, but it's not. You are right in our midst, and you're waiting to hear from us. So, Father, please help us. We all have unique problems, situations, things in our life that might look hopeless. With you, Scripture tells us all things are possible. The words of the angel Gabriel to the Blessed Mother are just that. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Father, sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes we look at the problems that we face, look at the challenges, and we think, well, that's not going to be possible. We're sorry for that. We're sorry that we sometimes sell you short. So, Father, give it your best shot. Take our problems. Do what you need to do. Our lives belong to you. Help us. And Father, I ask you to speak through me on the program today. Use my voice, my lips, and my words to proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to that message that you have for us today. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, ready to look at some Mass readings? Here we go. Wednesday of the seventh week in Ordinary Time. We continue in the first reading to follow the adventures of Moses as he leads the Israelites out of slavery. Today we look at Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. As Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands, he did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant while he conversed with the Lord. When Aaron then and other children of Israel saw Moses and noticed how radiant the skin of his face had become, they were afraid to come near him. Only after Moses called to them did Aaron and all the rulers of the community come back to him. Moses then spoke to them. Later on, all the children of Israel came up to him, and he enjoined on them all that the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When he finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses entered the presence of the Lord to converse with him, he removed the veil until he came out again. On coming out, he would tell the children of Israel all that had been commanded. Then the children of Israel would see that the skin of Moses' face was radiant. So he would again put the veil over his face until he went in to converse with the Lord. Okay, simple message for you that comes out of this first reading today. When you speak to the Lord, right, when you have a conversation with him, or better yet, when you are in his real presence, for instance, at Mass, Jesus is in the tabernacle, when you receive him in the Eucharist, even when you read sacred scripture in a spiritual sense, this encounter with the Lord, right? Are you changed? Do you change once you encounter the Lord? Now, in order for that to happen, you've got to do something. You've got to be open to inviting him inside of you, to listening to what he has to say, and to putting it into practice, right? You have to do all these things in order to be changed by your encounter with the Lord. A lot of times it doesn't happen. In my life, and I'm sure in yours, doesn't happen. We encounter the Lord, and we just come out of that encounter the same way as we went into the encounter. That's a big problem. And you know, what I always like to tell you is, I'm not here to freak anybody out. I'm not here to get you all upset. I'm not here to make you depressed or discouraged. I am here to shake you up sometimes because I think that's my job, but the reason I do it is to motivate you to do better. And we all can do better. I can do better. Every day I can do better. But I'm not content. It's like getting back to this worrying thing. I'm not content to say I'll always be a worrier. Oh, well, no, because I know God desires better for me. He desires better in my life than having me be a worrywart, scared all of the time. He wants more than that, because you know what happens? When we become distracted with worry and all these fears, we lose sight of our Lord. And that's a big mistake. He doesn't want that to happen. So the same thing goes with an encounter. I value your listenership a lot. The fact that you come onto this show and listen to me, that's really great. And I really appreciate it. And I don't want to insult you. I don't want to give you partial truths. You deserve better. And I mean that. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this show. I wouldn't do my morning show. I wouldn't do any of the programs that I do. And so sometimes I need to tell you the truth about this and understand that He wants better for you and your relationship with Him. So yeah, it is possible for you to have this encounter with the Lord and have your life changed, which is what happened to Moses. So just know that, and we'll worry about the steps later. But for right now, know that you can be changed in your relationship by having this personal encounter with the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 99. Holy is the Lord our God. Extol the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Moses and Aaron were among His priests, and Samuel among those who called upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. From the pillar of cloud He spoke to them. They heard His decrees and the law He gave them. Extol the Lord our God, and worship at His holy mountain, for holy is the Lord our God. Holy is the Lord our God. He's the Lord, He's our God, but He hears us. You know, that's why I emphasized at the beginning of the show that He's able to hear us, and when we speak to Him, He can hear us, and He can act on what we have to say. But it's really frustrating, isn't it? Because sometimes it feels like He's not really there. I've told you this before, and this is something we all struggle with. We cannot base our spiritual lives and our relationship on God with on our feelings. Because if we do that, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So it might not feel like He's real, and we've talked about this on the show before, but that doesn't mean that He's not real. And it doesn't mean that you can't have that encounter with Him that Moses did and be changed by the encounter. But what it does mean is that in order for that to happen, you've got to work at it. You've got to be willing to put the time in. Now, the gospel is from Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Jesus said to His disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys it. We've been hearing a lot about this. The church wants to make sure that we get this message, and you might get to the point where you're a little sick of hearing it. But, you know, again, you tie all these readings together, and what I would say is this. We need to look at our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and how seriously we take it. I mean, how much effort also do we put into our relationship with Him? Because we're only going to get out of it what we put into it. And that's important. Yeah, He's your Lord and Savior. He is omniscient and omnipresent. He can do anything He wants. He's everywhere. But He's not going to force His way into your life. He's not going to force you to have a close friendship with Him. What He's going to do is continue to knock, continue to offer Himself, right? But He's not going to force Himself into your life. That's up to you and to me to respond and to have that encounter with Him that Moses did, so that we are changed, so that we do feel His peace, so that we are not the same every day after we speak with Him. I should be getting a little closer to Him every day. That opportunity is there. Does that have to happen? No. It does not have to happen. Because if I don't respond, if I don't do anything to work on the relationship, then it's not going to get any better. So the point of this, you look at all these readings today, you have an incredible opportunity, and I hope I can inspire you with this. You have an incredible opportunity to have a great personal friendship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. and with the help of the Holy Spirit. You got that opportunity today. Make that decision. You know, let's go forward from today. It's not going to get all done in one day, but just make that decision. Yes, I want it, and tell that to the Lord. Go tell him today, Lord, I want that personal friendship with you. I want to be your best friend. I want to get to know you better, Lord. Please reveal yourself to me. You start saying that, and things will happen. I know it doesn't feel like things will happen, but you got to believe me. Things will happen. So give that a shot today. You are listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll play something by the Christophers. When we come back, my conversation from Spirit in the Morning with Jacob Popchak. And after that, I'll be back for the final word. So thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Many people these days fall into the trap of inactivity. The truth is that except for salvation itself, God helps those who help themselves. Father John Couture, the former director of the Christophers, made that observation in his syndicated column. He then used the example of a fictitious man named Tom to prove his point. Tom is a man who longs for a job but makes no effort to look for one. He prays for God's help but does nothing in the meantime. Father Couture explains the fault in Tom's approach. True prayer, he writes, is in the will to give ourselves to God. The will is active in Christian contemplation, not passive. In other words, don't just sit there hoping for God to change your life. Do something to make this ideal possible. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek. Well, it is a pleasure right now to invite a good friend on the program, Jacob Popchak. He is a nationally recognized Catholic speaker. He's an award-winning artist, and he's here to talk about art and beauty for the everyday Catholic. Now, don't panic in case you're somebody who's not into art and beauty. Wait till you hear this message. This is going to be an ongoing series on Spirit in the Morning. Jacob Popchak, my friend, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, brother.
Hey, art and beauty sounds a little boring at first. What's going on there? Why should Mr. Joe Catholic in the pew care about art and beauty?
Well, I think beauty and art and these kinds of things can leave one of two tastes in our mouths if we're not prepared to hear the message. The first is that we might think, oh, this is a very academic thing. This is for professors in tweed suits to, you know, wander over in the back of a museum someplace.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we might think, oh, this is a real liberal thing for, you know, a bunch of people with pink and green hair to talk about an abandoned warehouse someplace. And I would say both are very far from the truth. The fact is, we as Catholics, no matter where we're coming from in our spiritual journey, are called to see God's creation and also his truth through three spokes on a wheel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're used to two of those, truth and goodness. Truth refers to the actual teachings of the church, so to speak, and the ways God has communicated himself to us. And goodness refers to the virtue that we are called to both live out and also to promote in the world.
Yeah.
Beauty, though, is actually the third spoke on that wheel. These three things are used to evangelize. They're used as a litmus test for our own spiritual walk. They're used for every aspect of how God relates to the world and how we relate back him, how we relate back to him through the church.
Hmm.
So on every single level, truth, goodness, and beauty are vital to the Christian life and to the spiritual journey. Now, even that, I know, sounds so heady. So let me put it this way.
Right.
Have you ever been moved by a sunset? Have you ever heard a song that really stirred your heart? Have you ever seen a movie that stuck with you? Have you ever witnessed a liturgy, right? All the various prayers and the pomp and circumstance that goes into the Mass or the various aspects of the ways we worship God in church. Have you ever looked into the eyes of another person and been moved by how beautiful you found them? All of these things I'm mentioning are just examples on a broad spectrum of the experience of what we as Catholics call beauty with a capital B, that is being so moved visually, auditorily, whatever it happens to be, being so moved by our senses, that we have a transcendent experience, not just of how God is communicating with us, but of the heart of God himself. Meaning that beauty is, in fact, the most practical of the three spokes I referenced in the opening of this. You know, it takes a while to truly understand goodness and morality and virtue. It takes a while to truly understand the truth of the Catholic faith. But there is not a person alive who has not had an experience of beauty on every conceivable level. And for every human being, we have all understood at one point or another what it is to be moved by something outside of us because of how beautiful it is. And we as Catholics believe that that is actually a call from God.
You know, Jacob, I really like the way you're tying this in together. And I'm going to ask you some questions, because as you're speaking, some things come to mind. Number one, I see a beautiful sunset. Definitely, I can see the Lord in that. And I've often said, and I'm not a big nature guy, to be honest with you. I grew up in the city. I was born in Philly. I'm not a big nature lover, walking out in the woods, and that's not my thing. But I can appreciate the beauty of a sunset. In fact, on the way to the studio many times, I leave early enough that I do see the sunrise or sunset as well. I can absolutely see God in that. And often I'll thank him for, wow, Lord, thank you for that beautiful sunrise. I fly a lot when I travel and I speak around the country. The other day I'm in the air watching the clouds saying, hey, man, that is amazing. Lord, good job with the clouds. I get that. A beautiful liturgy you mentioned. No problem. But Jacob, I'm a fan of classic rock, too. I like good music, not all Christian music. We play a lot of Christian music on the show, but sometimes I enjoy some good classic rock music. I like it. I have a hard time seeing God's beauty in that music. Is it there?
I would say it is. And before anyone freaks out, kind of hear me out here, all right? The first thing I'd say is that you're right to be able to see beauty and the sunset and the sunrise and all those things you just mentioned, because that's God's creation, right? We should be able to see him there.
Yeah.
But we are also God's creation. We as human beings are, in fact, God's best creation, the Bible tells us. He saw us and he said we were very good, whereas the rest of creation was just good. And the Bible also tells us that we were made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. That means a lot of different things that we don't have nearly enough time to get into, and which furthermore I probably don't have any right to talk about. The deep theology of that is beyond my pay grade. But what I can speak to is the fact that we are all called to create as God has created. And anything that we create honestly and as an honest expression of our God-given humanity, and even more so, as an expression of how we see him and who he is to us, is therefore beautiful. Now, what does this mean practically? Well, it means that any artist of any kind has the power to praise God with anything they create, insofar as it is honest about the human experience and about the experience of knowing and loving God.
Right.
So, for instance, if you're listening to a classic rock song and you feel really moved by it, you got to look at why. Why am I moved by this? What is this song about? What part of my soul is this touching? And then you've got to realize, okay, well, if this song is touching my heart, if this song is moving me in some direction positively, if this song makes me feel like, hey, you know, I'm questioning this part of my own life, or I'm thinking about God, or this song gives me a new insight in some wound that I'm struggling
with.
Right. And this perhaps, you know, sounds crazy, but it shouldn't, because I think we've all been there. We've all had that response to a movie or a song or a play, or whatever it happens to be, a painting, right?
Yeah.
We've all had that response to something. And what we've got to realize is that's not incidental. That's not accidental. That doesn't just happen. Nothing just happens. If something touches our heart in that profound way, it's because God is using that to touch our heart. God is using that song, that play, that movie, that book, that painting, that whatever it is, to touch our heart personally and specifically. And as Catholics believe, beyond his using that media to give us an experience of transcendent beauty, so to speak, we believe beyond that, He's not just giving us the moment of transcendent beauty. He is the moment of transcendent beauty. God is the fullness of goodness, the fullness of truth, and the fullness of beauty. So when we have that kind of a transcendent experience, when we have that moment where we're like, yes, yes, oh, I feel this song, oh, yes, I feel this movie, oh, yes, right. I know what this thing is trying to say, and it brings something good out of my heart. When we have that moment, we're actually experiencing a moment of growing proximally closer to the genuine and living heart of the living God.
You know, brother, this is really powerful. I'm taking this in, and I hope as you're listening to this program over the air, you understand what Jacob is saying. The reason this is so amazing, the reason that this is such a powerful statement that you're making, is because I think, and Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, we're sort of running out of time, but we'll explore this next time. But oftentimes, I think we compartmentalize God. We put him in our church bucket. Yeah, we can find him in church. I can find him when I open my prayer book. I can find him when I open my Bible, whatever it may be. But he's also in so many more things. So if I'm listening to a piece of music or looking at a certain piece of artwork and I enjoy it, that's God in there too. Am I on target with that?
Absolutely. I would say that you are. And that's not to say that different kinds of media and different kinds of art can't communicate God to different levels, be different levels of technical proficiency. And that's not to say that, you know, Bruce Springsteen can put together something as good as what's in the Sistine Chapel, so to speak, or something, I should perhaps say, as capital B beautiful, as conveying of truth. But nevertheless, you know, as Pope St. John Paul II says, the purpose of art is nothing less than the upliftment of the human spirit. Bishop Robert Barron says that beauty is the arrowhead of evangelization, right? The greatest thinkers of our church recognized that beauty wasn't just an opportunity for an experience of God. Mm-hmm. Beauty is God. And wherever you find beauty, you've got to turn that over to God and say, okay, Lord, I don't know why I'm having this transcendent experience right now, listening to classic rock, looking at this painting, watching this movie, you know, hearing this recording, whatever it is. But you know why I'm having this response.
Right.
Pull out of me whatever desire, pull out of me whatever message it is that you're trying to get me to know, so that I can get to know you more deeply through whatever piece of media or art I'm viewing and loving right now.
Wow. Jacob, we are just about out of time, my brother. We have got to continue this discussion, and we will do that. But for now, where can we find you online in case we want to get in touch with you, maybe bring you out to speak, find out some more about your work? Where is the best place online?
For ministry, speaking, blog, and apostolate resources, I encourage listeners to check out my website dedicated to those purposes, jhpministry.com. Or to view all of my artwork and my full portfolio in that regard, check out jacobpopcheck.com. That's jacobpopcheck.com. Sounds like there's an H, but there's no H.
Right. Awesome, my friend. All right. We're going to continue this discussion next time on Spirit of the Morning. God bless you, Jacob Popcheck. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, brother. It's been a pleasure.
Jehovah Witnesses argue that Jesus is a lesser divinity than Jehovah because the Greek text in John 1:1 doesn't say the word was the God. The definite article isn't there. As such, they argue it should be translated a God. How do we respond? Well, first, six times in John 1, the term God appears without the definite article. But yet the JWs translate it as a God only once in reference to the word. Not very consistent. Second, in Greek, the definite article is prefixed to the subject, not the predicate. And in this clause, God is the predicate and the Word is the subject. Finally, John refers to Jesus as the God in 1 John 5:20, saying, "This is the true God." So, be at peace, my Christian friends. You don't have to go to a kingdom hall this Sunday. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Carlo, and thank you for listening to today's program. I really appreciate the fact that you tune in each day. Remember to let your friends know about this program. Let them know also that it's available on TuneIn Radio as well as iTunes. Couldn't think of the name of iTunes. And let them know about the new podcast as well, especially if you know somebody who is a worrier. Until next time, remember, whatever you do today, wherever you go, the Lord is by your side. He sees you, and he wants you to talk to him. So make sure you turn around and say hi. Until next time, this is Gary Zimek saying so long. Thanks for listening. God bless. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.